welcome to this brand new year, 2025. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, God just wants us to get excited about our future. Amen. You know, there are some people that just like bad news. Do you ever notice that? There's some preachers that like just bad news. If they prophesy, it's always bad news. Well, I think God has some good things to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord this morning. Let's pick up where we left off last week. We're going to receive our offering at the end of the service. So just be praying about that. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for the things that you literally put on my heart for this new year. And I'm asking you, sir, that you help me to communicate exactly what's in your heart to our hearts today, Father. Give us utterance, as Paul said, Lord, boldness to speak forth your word, clarity. And we just thank you for launching us, Lord, into this 2025. We're here already, Father, and we just thank you for the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it, Lord. We receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you for the unction that we have from the Holy One, the Holy Ghost. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I made mention of the fact last week, you know, it was the last Sunday of the year of 2024 last week, and I wanted to share some things that the Lord had placed upon my heart. Now, we're going to get back into this today. I'm going to reiterate some of the things, not everything, but just some of the things, and just kind of hit the high points of some of the things the Lord had put on my heart regarding this year, and it's important that we keep it before us. Praise the Lord. I made mention of the fact that on Wednesday, December the 4th, that was a Wednesday, not that long ago, about a month ago actually, yesterday, at 4:31 a.m., because I wrote it down, the exact time, okay? I saw my watch was there, my phone, I look at it, I wrote it down, 4:31 a.m., and the Holy Spirit, now I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it in my spirit, like we all hear the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't actually praying for this. I wasn't asking for a particular word. I was just serving the Lord, just loving on him, you know. But right at 4:31 in the morning on December the 4th, Wednesday, I heard these words as I woke up, okay? Right at the 4th, I woke up and I heard this in my spirit. So I thought, I better write this down. There have been times where the Lord would say something to me, and like I mentioned to you, I forgot what he said, and I was like, oh, God, please remind me. He said, just write it down, when, you know, whatever. That's why I'm thankful for, you know, instant messages and stuff you can do on your phone. You can just speak into it and write it down. It'll dictate your voice. But he said this to me, and I shared this last week. Let me say it again. I heard this in my spirit loud and clear. The glory days are coming in 2025. Then he went on to say, the glory of God is always a manifestation of his goodness. Okay? So in other words, the glory of God is more than just a mist, more than just a cloud. You know, the Shekinah, we talk about the Shekinah glory of God. But there's other avenues where the glory can be manifested. And he said this. He said, the glory days are coming in 2025. The glory of God is always a manifestation of his goodness. So in other words, the glory's spiritual, but it'll affect the natural realm, okay? The glory of God is spiritual, but it will affect the natural realm. Praise the Lord. Then he concluded by saying this to me. He instructed me, and I knew that when he told me to do this, he wanted me to share this with everybody publicly as well. He said he instructed me to declare the glory of God every day this coming year in 2025, to decree and to declare. And I'll get more into that today, why that's so important, because God will speak something, God will say something, but we have our part. God has his part, but then we have our part in that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to go over to Genesis chapter 30 for a minute here once again, and let's just pick up. We're only going to hit the highlights here that we shared last week. Praise the Lord. Say this after me. The glory days are coming to my house in 2025. Praise God. Now, you say, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, we'll look into that, but one of the things the glory of God will do, it will alter and change what needs to be changed. Something's broken, something's missing, something's hurting. Maybe there's a brokenness in your life, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's in your family. If there's some type of situation that illustrates brokenness, then the glory of God is going to fix that. Amen? I thought about Elijah when he was, buried in a cave and his bones were there. And he had been there for a while. His bones were in there, and they threw a dead man in there alongside him. You remember that story? And the Bible says that the dead man came back to life. Okay? It was Elisha, right? It was Elisha's bones, right? Not Elijah, Elisha. Their names are real similar. And it's interesting because Elisha prayed for a double portion. There are seven recorded miracles that Elijah did, but the 14th miracle that Elisha did was have somebody raised from the dead when a dead body was thrown next to him. So he had double the miracles. Remember, he asked for a double portion? All right? There was enough glory. It manifested in those bones that were still resident there that raised the guy from the dead that was thrown in there. They weren't expecting that. Amen? Well, that's the glory of God. And the glory of God will do things like that that are just spectacular. Now, we looked at this scripture last week, and we call this the law of first mention. There's always a first time that something's mentioned in the Bible. For example, in Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Genesis, I believe, chapter 5. That's the first time that word is used. So there's something significant about that. Well, thank God he found grace because, you and I came out, we're all descendants of Noah. Amen? Do you know we're all related to Noah? We always go back to Adam, and that's true. But actually, once the people in the earth were wiped out, the only people that were left were Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. There was eight of them. And the Bible definition of a few is eight. If you go to 2 Peter, it talks about there was Noah and a few. That means eight. So the Bible definition of few is eight. The Bible says Jesus could there do no mighty work in his hometown except heal a few sick people with minor ailments because of their unbelief. In Mark 6:5, he said he could there, not wouldn't, he could there do in his hometown, he could there do no mighty work. Well, if it was in his control, he would have done it. But it says he marveled because of their unbelief. Because they saw him after the natural. Do you know we can actually limit God when we look at people just naturally? Do you know that? Oh, that's just Jesus, the son of Joseph. That's why they missed that one. The son of Mary. He's the carpenter's kid, right? They saw him after the natural in his hometown. But the Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says they limited, the Holy One of Israel, Think about that. They put limits on God. So in other words, God wanted to do some things for Israel, but he couldn't, even though he wanted to. And how did they limit him? Because of their unbelief, right? Unbelief will always hinder what God wants to do in a person's life. Amen? Oh, God, rid us from unbelief, Right? And Jesus could there in his own hometown do no mighty work except lay his hands on a few sick people, the Greek says, with minor ailments. Okay? There was no dead being raised. There was no cripples walking, no blind eyes being opened. But yet, if you go to the town next to where he was, those miracles would take place. Because they didn't just see him as, oh, that's Joseph's son. They saw him as the son of God, son of David. That's covenant talk. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He says, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, that's covenant talk, right? In other words, that royal line. Praise the Lord. Now, we see right here the law first mentioned, and it says in Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, and the man Jacob increased exceedingly, and he had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and donkeys. So in other words, he had some stuff, right? Now, go to Genesis 31. Right next door, Genesis 31 and verse 1. This is after, right after it mentions that he had all this stuff, right? And it says in verse 1, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's hath he gotten, all this glory. Isn't that some glory, see? And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, he was not towards him as was before. In other words, Laban was not real happy about this. Now, Jacob's name means deceiver, conniver. Okay? And yet God changed his name to Israel. That's where Israel came from. He had 12 sons, right? Jacob became Israel, and Israel had 12 sons, and that's where the 12 tribes of Israel began with him, right? Now, I wanted to bring this out because they said he's gotten all this glory. Now, the glory that he's talking about there is all this stuff. You know, donkeys and camels and all this kind of stuff. You know, they called that glory. So, in other words, something that manifests like this in the area of blessing comes from the glory. Remember the scripture in Philippians 4:13 or 4:19? It says, but my God shall supply half your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in what? Glory. By Christ Jesus. So our needs are supernaturally met by the glory of God. Amen? Now, you know, it's really important for us to understand, and I'll just, this little side journey here, but that there's many channels, but there's only one source. There's many channels, but there's only one source. Now, when you're in your house or wherever you live, okay, how many have a water faucet in your, or more than one in your house? And you turn on that water faucet, you're getting water out of the kitchen or whatever, you know. That water faucet is not the source, that's just the channel. The source is where they get the water, probably from the river, you say yuck, you know, and they purify it, you know what I'm saying, depending on where you live, you know. So you might say that the source is a water, a river, or a lake, or something like that. That's the source, but the spigot is just the channel. Are you with me? There's only one source. My God shall supply. He's the source of all of our needs. Now, he can use different channels. Are you with me now? The problem is we get our eyes on the channel thinking that's the source. But we have to get our eyes on the source, which is God. And I think that's really important for us to remember that this coming, the start of this new year, is to realize, Father, you are my source. And we can say that. He's not limited to your income or your retirement or this or that. God can move and has moved in other ways, and he can get resources to us. I'm not just talking about money, but anything. He can get things to us if we keep our eyes on him. Praise God. That's one of the ways that we limit God, is we're looking to the channel instead of the source. Amen. Years ago, when I started our first church years ago, 1986, to be exact, you know, our first church that we started in our living room, actually. And, you know, make a long story short, you know, the Lord had dealt with us about stepping out, starting a ministry, and there was no way in the natural, we didn't have the money. You know what I mean? And so I was really praying about it, you know, because I felt like the Lord said, do this and so forth, you know. And we had somebody from out of state, actually, somebody from Texas, actually, that barely knew us, that sent us a check for like $1,200, okay? And, you know, and it came in our mailbox, you know, and I had one of those old cast iron metal, real thick, heavy mailboxes, you know, that was attached to our garage, you know, right by our garage. And when the mailman would come, it would clink. You could hear it. It was real loud, right? And so I remember this day that this I opened up and there was an envelope there. I opened up, there was a check for us for $1,200. Well, at that time, that covered everything for the whole month. Well, it's changed since then. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, needless to say, I was pretty excited. Now, the Lord was teaching me some things back then, you know, and he was trying to show me that, hey, look, I'm your source, right? Well, here's the problem is that I would wait, and I did it unconsciously, but every single day I would wait for the mailman to come because, you see, my office was my second bedroom, right? And, you know, and we didn't have air conditioning, so we opened the windows. It was in the summer, you know. And I could hear the mail truck pull up, you know, had a certain sound to the muffler, you know. It would pull up in front of our house, down on the road. I'd hear him walk up our driveway. We had a little hill. Hear the clink, and then I would run down as soon as the mailman was there, and I would look in there, and there's nothing there. So I was like, you know, because weeks went by, then a month went by. I'm like, well, here we go again, a new month, right? And, you know, and I tell you, this went on for several weeks. And every time he would come and there wasn't something except the bill, I would open it up. I would get disappointed. So one day I'm going back down, repeating the same behavior again. I'm going back down, and, you know, the truck pulled up. Mailman came. I went down there. And the Holy Spirit, as I was walking down my front steps to go to my mailbox, the Holy Spirit said, "Do you think I live in a mailbox?" I said, "Excuse me." "Say that again, Lord." He said, "Do you think I live in a mailbox?" And right away, I saw what was going on. I was starting to limit God. I thought the only way that God could get money to me was to come through that mailbox. Okay? And I was like, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. I repent. Forgive me for limiting you, you know?" And it wasn't much long after that that he supplied that need through another source in a different way. Amen? But we can get used to God providing things for us along a certain line, like with our jobs, and we limit. But listen, God can. He wants us to take this year to take all the limits off what he can do and what he wants to do. He's just looking for someone to believe him. Praise God. Just trust him. What do we need? Take it to the Father. Bring it before him. Remember, Jesus said, "If you being natural know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that what? Ask him." Amen. So he wants us to get busy asking, trusting him. Praise God. And so we see the definition of glory here in this situation here was he had stuff, right? And he had maid servants and men servants and camels and donkeys. Praise the Lord. And they said in the next chapter, how to get all this glory. That had to do with things. Okay? So this year is going to be a year of the manifest glory of God, which will manifest itself in the natural realm. Praise God. And we mentioned this last week, but in John, the second chapter, I'll just refer to it, that when Jesus was at a wedding feast, you know, and they ran out of wine, you know, and Jesus' mother went to Jesus, you know, and said, you know, "We need some wine here." and remember, the Bible says Jesus turned the water into wine. Remember that? Well, it says in verse 11, it's John 2:11, it says, "This beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory." Notice this. "And his disciples believed on him." This is called working of miracles. Okay? There's a like substance, a liquid substance, water, that Jesus supernaturally turned, the Father through him, turned the water into wine and made provision for the people there at the wedding feast. Amen? Now, if Jesus produces that kind of wine, I don't mind drinking it because it's not going to hurt you. Amen? Right? Because actually, wine that's fermented is old. You know that? It's been sitting a while. That's old. When Jesus creates something, it's new. It's fresh. Are you with me? So my point being is this, that he manifested forth his glory, it says right there, when a miracle took place, a miracle of provision here at the wedding feast. Isn't that something? Glory be to God. Now, we remember there in Exodus, and I'll just refer to it, and we'll move on to today, where Moses said, "Lord, please show me your glory," in Exodus 33. "Please show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you." Remember that? Notice the connection between the glory of God and the goodness of God. Every single time that we have an answer to prayer, and you pray about something, you know, and I think we need to understand that, that's a manifestation of the glory of God. Boy, there's nothing more exciting than seeing your prayers answered. And I'm telling you, God hears every prayer that you pray. Amen? Getting a little cold here, Josh. God hears every prayer that you pray. Are you with me now? Say, God hears me. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. God hears every word that you pray. When you whisper to Him, He hears you. You don't have to shout, scream. He hears every word that you say. So again, let me repeat. The Lord said this, the glory days are coming in 2025, and the glory of God is always a manifestation of His goodness. And here's what I'm going to focus on here today. He then instructed me to declare it every day this coming year in 2025. To declare it every day. Amen? Now, we see in the book of Luke, and I'll just refer to this, but in Luke chapter 1, in verse 37, you remember in Luke's gospel that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, said, "You're going to bring forth a son." And look at verse 37. She says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," the angel said. He said, the angel told her, "You're going to have a son. You're going to bring forth a son, his name," and so forth. And Mary said, "Behold," verse 38, "the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Okay. Now you're there in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Look at verse 45. Now this is Elizabeth, you know, John the Baptist's mother. Okay. And she is pregnant with the Baptist at this point, who became a Pentecostal. He's the one that said, "He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. Praise the Lord. Now notice what she said to Mary, "And blessed is she that believed," talking about Mary, "for there shall be a performance." Now I made a mistake last week. I said that the angel said this to her, but actually Elizabeth said this. Okay, so I correct myself. He said, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? She's prophesying this. She said, "There shall be a performance of the things that were spoken unto her." So, in other words, what was said to her is going to come to pass and become flesh. And when Mary heard the words, she said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" We went into that, you know. And that's when Gabriel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you and you shall conceive." And here's her statement. She says, "Okay, be it unto me according to your word." And the Bible says the angel left. He exited. Why did he exit at this point? Simply because the mission was accomplished. Okay? Now, Gabriel is the one that brought the miracle to Mary, and she conceived, and 9 months later, Jesus was made flesh. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We call this the virgin birth. Jesus' father was not Joseph, his father was God. Supernatural seed was deposited into Mary, and she became pregnant. She became expectant. And then 9 months later, Jesus came out. Praise the Lord. Now, I wanted to say that to say this. God says something. Here's what's going to take place, right? Mary had her part. She could have said, "You know, I don't think I like this idea. Why don't you try somebody else? Why don't you go to some..." She could have done that. But she thought about it. She pondered those things in her heart, the Bible says, you know. And she says, "You know what, if this is God, this is a good thing." And it was a good thing, right? But here's what she said. Not that long of a statement. She says, "Be it unto me according to your word." So in other words, she's saying, "What you said, bring it to pass right now. I receive that word." Say, "I receive that word." See, now a message can be delivered through a preacher. It can be delivered through an angel. And we have to get to the point where we say, I receive that as from God. Now, when the Lord spoke this to me, that 2025 will be days of glory, hallelujah, and the glory of God is a manifestation of His goodness, you know, I could have just shoved that off into a corner. I could have ignored that. I could have thought, well, I just made that up. But I wasn't thinking about that. You know, if I get up at 4:31 in the morning, you're not thinking about things like that. You're just barely waking up. But the Holy Spirit spoke that to me because He wants us to anticipate something that He wants to do in the earth. But voice has to be given. Voice activation has to be given. Now, it's interesting because of technology now, but, you know, with our phones now, you can actually speak into your phone and dictate a text message. Now, I will recommend that you check it before you send it. Because I've sent some, you know, and there's like curse words in there. I'm like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. We've had that happen between us at times. I'm like, holy cow, you know, four-letter words and stuff. I'm like, I didn't say that, you know. But Siri thought I was saying a certain thing, so that's what it recorded like. But the technology is you could speak into your phone and it will actually form a paragraph or whatever. That's what I do. It's quicker than typing, right? But it's voice activated, okay? If you don't speak, there's no words that are written. Amen? Sometimes I'll speak in tongues into my phone just to see what comes out, you know. And it's all jibber-jabber, you know what I'm saying? It just comes out like, it thinks you're saying, it'll think of a familiar word that's English and it'll just put that up there. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But it certainly doesn't recognize tongues, I'll tell you that. But let's talk about voice activation, or let's just say motion activated. Well, no, that's been around for a while. But I remember when it first came out, you know, you walk into an airport or a mall or something that's updated, you know, and like, man, they're really cutting corners. They forgot to put spigots in here. They're really cutting their finances, you know, and you're sitting there trying to figure out, how do you turn this thing on? Then somebody comes over and waves underneath it, and then the water comes out, right? They're all like that now, right? So it's motion activated. Same with doors that open up, you know, you go into a grocery store or something, you know. We don't think twice about it now. It's just the way it is, right? Now, that technology, I believe, helps us to understand that certain things have to be voice activated. If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That's voice activation. Okay? And when Mary said, be it unto me, she put words out there and the angel said, okay, I'll do that. And that's when he disappeared because the miracle of conception took place. Right? Now, all these types of miracles that take place have to do with speaking words, and thank God, God has given us a voice. Now, if you go to over again to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I wrote down here yesterday, and I was making my notes here, I put down here, we must speak what God says in order to plant the incorruptible seed. We must speak what God says in order to plant the incorruptible seed. We saw this last week, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says this, Peter, you know, being a close apostle to the Lord Jesus, said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now notice, again, we saw this last week, that the Word of God is considered a seed, but it's not a natural seed, it's the incorruptible seed. And I brought out the fact last week that natural seeds, whether it's watermelon, pumpkin seeds, peach seeds, apple seeds, they're seeds, but they can be destroyed where they won't produce. In other words, you can crush them and they won't produce. But there's a seed that's incorruptible, it cannot be destroyed, and it's called the Word of God. And it says here, being born again. How many of you are born again? Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus said to, you know, Nicodemus in John 3:3. No man can be go to heaven except he be born again. Well, that means be born again. of not of corruptible but incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Say this after me. The word of God is a seed, but it cannot be destroyed. Praise the Lord. So I want to get this out here today. Let's talk about this because when the Lord said, these are the days of my glory, manifestations of my glory, but he needs us to say something. He needs us to release it by speaking it, not just once, but every single day, and expecting the glory, expecting his goodness to show up in our lives. I'm telling you, God wants to do more good things for us than we even want. That's the kind of Father that he is. Praise the Lord. I know the Lord's been talking to me of getting my expectations up. I mean, I thought I did in certain areas, but he said, get them up really high. It's not false hope. It's godly expectations. David even said, my expectation comes from the Lord. You're just waiting for something good to happen, not for the next shoe to drop, not for the next accident to happen. You're waiting for something good to take place. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed. Now, we mentioned this in 1 Corinthians. Go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. The scripture we saw last week. And I felt that it was important we go over these again and touch on them before we move into this other territory today. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth right here by the Holy Spirit. And he says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the what? Increase. Now, what did he plant? He planted the word. So Paul the apostle was a forerunner, a trailblazer, if you will. That's what an apostle does. He goes into territory where there's no churches, no gospel, and he established the church there at Corinth initially. And but then, you know, sometime later, Apollos, who was a teacher, came along and he taught basically the same principles that Paul had initially taught them. Paul says, I've planted the seed of the word. He says, Apollos watered the seed. Okay? Well, you can have the best seed in the world, but it's not going to grow without water. Right? It takes water. It takes ground and water, right? Now, here we're talking about the word of God. Paul says, I planted the word, but Apollos watered the word, and God is the one that gave the increase. He caused it to come forth. Amen? Now, it'd be great if all we had to do is just plant seed, then we get an instant harvest, right? Praise the Lord. And that's why, you know, in church a lot of times I'm reiterating things. It's not because I have nothing else to say, but sometimes we have to repeat certain things, certain truths, so that we're watering the seed that we've already had, right? You hear a scripture. I've heard that before, right? Well, the second time we hear it, maybe in a little different way, we're watering that seed so that God is going to bring forth the increase. Okay? So we know that he's talking about the word of God. So how do we plant the word of God? We do it by speaking the word. When we speak the word, we are planting the word. Now, the first time that you hear the word or the truth, it's a seed. The second time you hear the same truth, that same word, you're watering the seed. Well, that's exactly what Romans 10 says. So then faith cometh, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's watering the seed, watering it. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, you can have faith in the wrong kind of seed. You can have faith in the negative. Words are seeds. Let's just face the fact. Every word that we hear is a seed. Some seeds need to be uprooted. Now, a lot of times, one of the biggest hindrances, you know, the scripture that I made mention of at the first of the service here today, was it says that they turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel, right? Referring to Israel. One of the things that can hinder God or limit God is human tradition. If people are taught along a certain line, you know, for so long, that wrong seed gets in them and they start to think, oh, that's the way it is. That's the truth, right? For example, there are people that are raised in churches that do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they teach against it. That it's not for today, that it died with the apostles. I know churches that believe that and they teach that. Okay? Well, as a result, no one's being filled with the Holy Ghost. No one is speaking with other tongues. But yet Jesus put such a premium on that subject. He said, I command you to go in Jerusalem and wait till you're endued with power from on high. He didn't suggest to them. He commanded them to go and wait on the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There was the day of Pentecost. That was the initial outpouring. They had to tarry. They had to wait. We don't have to tarry anymore. We don't have to wait. He's already been sent. What's our part? How do we receive what's already been sent? The finished work. Our job is to teach people how to receive the Holy Spirit. Paul came through the upper coast of Ephesus, found certain disciples, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't much heard that there's a Holy Ghost. He said, well, John baptized with water, but that's water baptism. There's another baptism, you know. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. They were water baptized in Acts chapter 19. Hallelujah. 19 years after the day of Pentecost. Amen. And, but they didn't know. And so tradition sometimes can just ruin people's, you know, even though it's good news, is like bad news. Right? Because, you know, a lot of times people want to play it safe, you know, and like, and they don't realize they're embalmed in unbelief. No miracles, no power, no Holy Ghost. Okay? But I'll tell you what, there's a way to present it. We don't have to be obnoxious about it, but we can present it in such a way that realize this is for us today. But because of wrong tradition, people have been taught that tongues have been done away with. They're not for us today. You know, let's just play it safe, Pastor Keith. No, wait a second. Jesus said, go wait. You go to Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. He commanded them. Amen? Now, I would say that's pretty important. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Paul even said in his letters in Ephesians, says, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, there's the initial infilling when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's many refillings. And that's what our Christian life is about, is staying filled. Amen? Now, I don't know of any more uncomfortable feeling than when you're traveling and you're looking at your gas gauge and you're almost on empty. And that little light comes on, says you got some, now it shows you how many miles you got till you're empty. Amen? One time I was like, I think I can get by with this. I was going to a prayer group or something, you know, years ago. And the computer said 0 miles left before you're out of gas. I began to pray, oh God, you know, and I somehow made it to a gas station and it said 0 miles left. So I don't know if God, I don't know what he got me to the gas station, and I filled the tank up, you know, and the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, how did you feel when you were running on empty? I said, oh Lord. It didn't feel too good. It was nervous. It was anxious because you could just run out of gas. You're stuck on the side of a road somewhere, you know. He said, well, how did you feel after you were filled up? I said, I had calmness and peace. He goes, that's exactly the way it is in the spirit realm. When you're full, you're not anxious. You know, you still have 300 miles to drive till you run out of gas. Okay? Now, you use that as an analogy with our spiritual lives. If we're always running on empty, we're like, it's on like 2 miles left before we're out of gas. You're on edge. You're not at peace. Okay? But when you're filled with God, you're like, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now you know and I know, you know when you're filled and you know when you're not filled. But the Bible says, but be being filled in Ephesians chapter 5. Stay constantly filled with the Spirit. That's something we have to do on a daily basis. Now, the thing is, nobody can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. If I'm low on gas, I don't tell someone else, can you fill my tank up? I have to go do it. Now, if somebody volunteers, I want to fill your tank up. I'll say, okay, that's fine. But that's not the normal way. When you get low, you have to find a gas station. You have to fill your tank up, right? Now, did you ever notice this? It costs nowadays, I think that's going to change in Jesus' name, it costs more to fill up. All right? It costs more to fill up. And I said, the day and the time that we're living, it does cost more to fill up spiritually, but it's worth it. Stay filled with the Word. Stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Praying in other tongues. Glory to God. And by doing so, you won't be caught off guard when someone comes along and they have bad news and they try to, you know, put a damper on your life. They could even be Christians. There's a lot of Christians that are saved, but they're not filled. Their minds are not renewed with the Word of God. They got their fire insurance. They're going to heaven if they die, but they're not filled. Our job is to stay filled constantly. Now, I can't control what happens to a single person, starting with my own family, with those in our church. I have no control over that, okay? I don't mean that in a bad sense, but I'm responsible for me. If I'm weak, it's because of something I'm not doing. If I'm weak spiritually, it's because I'm not putting the time in that I need to put in. But I'm so glad that I can say, you know, Lord, I'm going to set aside this hour or whatever, you know, or 2 hours, whatever. I'm going to go pray in tongues. I'm going to go pray in the Spirit. And I do that constantly. And I don't have to be in a prayer closet to do it. I can be driving along. I can be by myself taking a walk and just churning the Spirit of God. I can do that walking in a mall. I can do that driving in my car. And you just keep yourself build up. Build up. And the more filled you are, the more you're going to be in a position to not only be a blessing to yourself, but to those around you. Praise God. See, before I ever show up here and minister to you, I mean, I prepare myself. I do what I have to do, praying and studying during the week, okay? But I have to sow that time into that. You know that, Brother Dan, when you minister, it takes time. You don't just whip a message out, right? We've talked about this. You know, it takes time to get the mind of God, research, study, pray, ponder over it, go over it, you know? Because, you know, you don't want to just give a book report. You want the anointing to be there. You want the presence of God to be there. And the more filled we are with God, the more filled we are with His Spirit, I'm telling you, the more effective that we will be with other people. Amen? Praise God. We call that the overflow. Now, if I had a glass of, let's use this for example. Everybody see this glass has half water, half a tank, right? Now, I could take a drink of this water. I have water in me. But if this was an endless supply of water and I just kept drinking and kept drinking, it would get to the point where I couldn't put any more water in me. It would start to flow out of my mouth, okay? We can be born again. We have the drink. We have the well of water inside of us. But Jesus said, when you receive the baptism, you receive rivers of living water. That's bigger and more mighty than a well. John chapter 4, the well. John chapter 7, the river. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. And these are the days of the glory we're coming into. These are the days of the rivers, glory to God. Rivers of water coming out of us, amen? And we don't have to wait for someone else to stir us up. We can stir ourselves up, amen? Paul said, I stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, amen? Oh, every time you pray, every time you get into the Word, you're filling your tank up. And the more effective you'll be to those people around you that don't have their tanks filled up. How many of you know there's no shortage of people that are running on empty? Yeah. The problem is they don't even know it. They don't even know it. How do you know if you're running on empty? Because you worry really quick. If you yield to fear really quick, you're running on empty. That doesn't mean it doesn't come against you, but if you yield to it that quick, you know, and get irritated and frustrated with people, lose your temper on people, you're running on low. The gas gauge is on really, it's on red light, okay? But when we get filled with the Spirit, that goes back up. Where our tolerance level goes up, we're able to deal with difficult people, difficult situations. There's a grace to help us deal with difficult people in situations. I don't know about you, but I've been around at times when I wasn't too filled with the Spirit, where people just got on my nerves. People that I work with and stuff like that are like, oh, geez, here we go again, you know. But it's just a reminder, you need to get filled. Get filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, things that normally bother you won't bother you anymore, because you're like, Jesus is in me. The patience of Jesus is in me. The love of God is in me. And when you're conscious of that, it's so easy to become flesh conscious, isn't it? You know, you walk into a room of people, you know, and you're checking people out, you're looking at stuff, you're looking at the natural instead of the spiritual. It's so easy to judge people from the natural, isn't it? But the Bible says, he that is spiritual judges all things. You're able to discern. Praise God. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But look, go to Mark chapter 4, and let's wrap this up here this morning. Man, where's our time going? My. For me, personally, the time flies when I'm ministering the word. I don't like that. It goes too quick. Amen. It's time accelerates. Oh, thank you, Lord. So we plant the word by speaking the word. Every time you say what God says, you're initially you're planting the word, but then you're watering the word. Okay? Paul said, it's not he that planteth or he that watereth it, but it's God that gives the increase. God is going to bring the increase of the word. Now, we know this, we could read the whole chapter, but we're not. But in Mark chapter 4, we know this is the parable of the sower, where the sower sows the word. There's a couple of phrases I want you to see right here. Mark chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus said, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not shall him from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he said, so the kingdom of God is if a man, notice this, should cast seed into the ground. The kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed, or we should say the word, into the ground. Because Jesus interpreted it, he said the word is the seed and the ground is the heart. Okay? And notice verse 27. Well, 26 again, he said, so the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Notice the farmer cast seed into the ground. And he says it rises up, but he doesn't know how. He can't figure it out, but it works. Are you with me now? Okay. Now, let's go to Job, or Job. It's spelled the same way. And let's conclude with these couple of scriptures here today. In Job chapter 22, verse 28... Now, I'm laying the foundation here today that for when God says something, we have to release words. We have to speak it back, speak it out loud, so that it proceeds to the next level, right, where the seed will germinate and bring forth, just like Mary when she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Now, let me give you an example here before we read this. If you need healing in your body, don't wait to get sick to get healed, to learn about healing. Learn about healing when you're feeling good. Because once you have symptoms in your body, it's a little more difficult. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult to work through those symptoms. But if you put the word of God in your heart when you don't have a physical need, when you're feeling good, and you use scriptures, you know, that promise you God has already touched your body by his stripes. Ye were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. You know the scripture. You know? Well, when you say that out loud, that seed is taking root in your physical body, but that seed needs water. Where we get discouraged a lot of times is in the watering process because we're not seeing the seed pop up yet, right? And so we'll say things like, well, I don't know if this is working or not, you know what I mean? And so we uproot the seed, right? We're being double-minded. But when we speak what God's word says, he wants us to keep saying it, okay? Now, in Job 22, verse 28, it says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways or thy path. Well, how do you decree something? You use what? Words. I like that. You shall decree a thing. I'm going to make some declarations, right? And it says, you shall decree a thing, and guess what? It'll be established to you, and the light will shine upon your path. So when I say, I decree and I declare, that's exactly what you're doing right there. I decree that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Now, you're not trying to get healed. You are healed. You were healed. He died for you. He went to the Roman whipping post 2,000 years ago. He already did that. That was accomplished before we were born. So it's a done deal as far as God's concerned. But the way we make it vital in our lives is we say what happened. By his stripes, I am healed. Body, I'm talking to you. This is how I do it. I'm talking to you right now, body. You might even list the body part. I'm commanding you right now. You line up with the word of God. By his stripes, you were healed. Hallelujah. I receive it in Jesus' name. Well, what if you don't feel any different? You just keep doing it. You keep watering the seed. This is where people fail and where people win. Is in the process. Remember Jesus said, the ear, the full corn in the ear, there's a process. There's the blade, the seed, right? The seed, the fuzza. I'm saying it wrong. Okay, so thou shalt decree a thing. Yeah, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Praise the Lord. That's how. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Boy, it's so much fun when you start decreeing, make declarations, and you just get caught up in it. And then all of a sudden, it becomes flesh. All of a sudden, it manifests. I'm like, boy, that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been declaring. All of a sudden, boy, it comes to pass. Okay? You see, listen really carefully. It's the process of this is where people get weary, where Christians get weary. Now, if it just came down to just planting a seed and there was an instant harvest, it wouldn't take any patience. It wouldn't take any of these principles at all because you would just say it, boom, there it is, right? That's why he said, hold fast your confession of faith. Don't waver. Hang on. Keep a good confession. War a good warfare. Hold on to your confession of faith. Don't give up. Just because your body isn't responding yet doesn't mean it's not working.
That's true.
It's working. Okay? Now, go to Ecclesiastes. Jeremiah wrote this. Am I right about that?
Solomon.
Solomon. I'm sorry, Solomon. I'm thinking of Lamentations. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? Now notice the first part of that. You ever hear this scripture before? Where the word of the king is, there is power. Power, power, power. Where the word of the king is. Now let's just... let's apply this to ourselves. The scripture tells us, because a lot of people don't know, well, that's a king. I'm not a king. Well, if you go to the word of God, the Bible says he has made unto us kings and priests unto our God in Revelation. Did you know that you're a king? Say, I'm a king. I'm remembering back in the day, some of y'all remember this, there was a butter called Imperial Butter. And they, you can still go on YouTube and watch these are really old commercials, you know. And it wasn't real butter, it was fake butter, which is not healthy for you. And they said, if you eat this, a crown would pop and appear on the person's head. Do you remember that? I mean, we're talking in the 1960s, right? And I saw that, I'm like, I want some of that butter. Mom, can you buy some of that butter, you know, Imperial Butter? So they would take a little bit of that butter and all of a sudden there'd be a crown that would appear on their head, right? So we understand that, you know, we came from that generation, right? Now, the Bible says we're kings and we're priests in the book of Revelation unto our God. That means we have a place of dominion and authority as a king. Amen? So where the word of the king is, there's power. We're talking about using words. You're a king and you're a priest unto our God, whether you feel like it or not. You wake up in the morning, I sure don't feel like a king today. I feel like a pauper today. No, you're a king. Even women. There's no gender here, right? We're kings and we're priests unto our God. A king rules with his word. He makes decrees. What he says, do this, and they have to do it. Especially in Bible days. Okay? Now, we're familiar with presidents, but we're talking about some countries actually have kings still. And they have an amount of authority that's beyond the average person. So as believers in Christ Jesus, we're not just born again. We're kings and we're priests unto our God. So where the word of the king is, there is power and there is authority. Where the word or my word is, I'm a king. Say, I'm a king. And I am a priest because God said it. We've got to be a little more convinced. Amen. Say, I'm a king.
I'm
a priest.
I am a priest.
Because God said it. So that means we make some declarations. Thou shalt decree a thing. That sounds like a king. I declare, for example, I declare and decree, no accident shall befall me. God gives his angels charge over me. They keep me in all my ways. Nothing bad is going to happen to me in Jesus' name. You just made a declaration. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. That's a decree. I declare and I decree that health and healing are reigning in my body today. Health is springing forth in my body. You know, you're the prophet of your own life. What you say about you has more impact than anybody else. You're the prophet of your own life. When you say it and you decree it, that's what starts to take place in your life. Praise God. Now, sometimes religious people actually get upset when you share some of these things because they don't have a revelation of it. I've tried to share some of this through the years with different people that didn't have a revelation of this, and they get mad at you. Who do you think you are? Well, what God says I am. The problem is the child of the flesh always persecutes the child of the spirit. Ishmael and Isaac, right? Ishmael, child of the flesh, persecuted Isaac, child of the promise. And so, you know, you have people that are of the Ishmael mindset. And they get upset with people that walk in the Spirit, that confess the Word, that speak the Word. They don't understand it. They don't have a revelation of it. So they get upset. Okay? But once you have a revelation of the Scripture, of the Word of God, I'm a king and I'm a priest, and what I say is going to come to pass. Now, we're not bragging on ourselves. We're not looking at ourselves and saying, man, I'm really something. We're bragging on Jesus. We're bragging on God. As the Scripture says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, if any man boasts, let him boast in what the Lord has done. I didn't make myself a new creation. I didn't make myself the righteousness of God. I didn't heal myself. Jesus did that for me. He did that for me. He loves me. So I'm going to decree what he said over me. I'm going to declare what he said over me. One last Scripture here in Psalms 107. This will be our last one here today. You know, for me personally, when I started having more of a revelation of the Word, the more enthused I became about speaking it. It wasn't a chore anymore. It was a privilege. It was an honor. I couldn't wait to do it. That's the way I feel. Oh, I can't wait to speak His Word. I can't wait to pray in the Spirit. I can't wait to speak the Word of God, because I know that when I'm speaking it, things are happening. Miracles are taking place. Glory to God. So in Psalms 107, let's pick up in verse 19. Talking about Israel, it says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses." It's talking about the children of Israel. They cried in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Now look at verse 20. It says this, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Now, did He send healing? No. He sent the word. He sent the word. God could just send the healing, but here's how He operates. He'll send His word, then He'll heal you, and then deliver you from your destructions. We see in the Gospel of Luke, and I'll just refer to it, but the Bible says the people came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their infirmities. It's listed two or three times in the Gospel of Luke. They came to hear the word and to be healed. Now, Luke was a physician. He was more detailed. His situations that people that were healed under Christ's ministry, he is a little more detailed because he was previously, before Jesus called him in the ministry, he was called Luke the physician. So he gave a little more details, like the woman with the issue of blood and so on and so forth, right? In different accounts, a little more detailed. Instead of saying fever, he would say they had a great fever. So he would get a little more detail because of his background. Now, it says right here, He sent His word, number one, and then two, He healed them and then delivered them from their destructions. You see, God always sends His word first. And how we respond to the word is how we're going to see that word come to pass. When I referred to that situation there on November the 4th, when the Lord spoke that to my heart, the glory days are coming, right? I had to receive that word. He sent His word. And once I heard that word in my spirit, I said, okay, Lord, I'm latching on to that. Praise God. Now, He said the year before will be a year of wholeness and completeness. Now, you may think, well, that didn't really come to pass. Well, listen, there's no shelf life. The Lord wanted me to say that because people say, well, that didn't really come to pass. Listen, there's no deadline as far as, you know, the next year the calendar turns, it's a new year, a new number, it didn't come to pass. God's not looking at that. This is still the year of wholeness and completeness, and I believe that we will see the fullness of it come forth this year. Restoration. I mean, restoration, family restoration, physical, financial restoration. I taste it. I can taste it in the spirit realm. It's just, it's that close. Hallelujah. Let's just thank Him right now. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We worship You and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You that Your anointing is here to help us walk this out. We're not left to our own devices. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us walk these things out and declare these things and to see them come to pass in our lives. So, Father, I thank You right now. We dedicate this, the first service of the year. We dedicate this time to You from this moment forward throughout these months that are January, February, March, all through spring, all through the summer. We just thank You for increase the glory of God, the manifestation of Your goodness. And Lord, we will see it and we'll be quick to give You all the glory. That's the work of God. That's the hand of God. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's what You are doing, Lord. We recognize every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, we thank you that every good, Lord, and every perfect gift comes from you. Healing is good. Prosperity is good when it comes from you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for fullness this year. The glory of God. Say this after me. Say, Lord, I declare the glory of God, the manifestation of His goodness in my life, in my family, all this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.